Warning, this podcast contains content that may be alarming, disturbing, or shocking to some viewers. Viewer discretion is advised. According to National Crime Information Center, over 600,000 Americans get reported missing every year. Over 85,000 stay that way. The FBI says there's over 25 to 50 active serial killers in America at any time. Yes, we truly do live in a land of monsters. These are some of their stories. Welcome to Among Monsters, a true crime podcast brought to you by Jeremy Hansen. Welcome to Among Monsters. I want to talk about Katie Searles, the 10-year-old who helped catch a serial killer. You know, it's rare for someone to cross paths with a serial killer and live to tell their tale. Crystal Searles was one of the lucky ones. She faced Tommy Lynn Sells in 1999 and came out victorious despite only being 10 years old. Crystal Searles' survival ultimately proved to be the man's downfall, as she later identified him to the police. His arrest wouldn't bring back the many people whose lives he'd cut short, including that of her best friend, Katie Harris. However, seeing Tommy behind bars would still bring the child great comfort. Crystal Searles' horrific encounter with Tommy Lynn Sells took place right before the turn of the century, December 31st, 1999. She and her younger sister, Marquis, were staying with Katie Harris and her family while their parents were out of town getting the last of their things to move next to the Harris family. The girls were excited about their sleepover, unaware that for one of them, this would be a fatal and last night of their lives. These girls weren't the only ones in the house that day. Although Katie's father was also out of town helping Crystal Searles' parents, her mother was home. Her older brother and younger sister were present too, meaning this home was hardly unoccupied when Tommy Lynn Sells took the risk of doing what he did in Del Rio, Texas. Despite the excitement of staying with a friend, all was not well that day. Tommy Lynn Sells had came over to visit earlier. Crystal Searles and Marquis Searles fought, as siblings often do. It seems that Crystal didn't want her sister sleeping in the same room as her and Katie that night, which upset Marquis. Crystal Searles ultimately got her way, with her sister taking the guest room while she and Katie Harris enjoyed the bunk beds. Marquis reportedly went to bed frustrated and mad at her sibling that night, unaware that this argument might have just saved her life had she slept in the same room as her sister. Marquis also might not be alive anymore. Of course, hindsight is a wonderful thing. So Marquis didn't know to be grateful to her sister at the time. Nevertheless, Marquis slept where she was told to, while Crystal Searles and Katie Harris enjoyed one another's company in the bunk beds. Unfortunately, when it hit closing time, December 31st, 1999, the two friends' lives would be in danger. You see, that's when Tommy Lynn Sells began to prowl the streets and set his sights on their home. The Harris family had unfortunately left a window open, which gave Tommy Lynn Sells the perfect way to access their home. He snuck inside and made his way towards the bedroom of Katie Harris, confident about what he would do to her. The crimes of Tommy Lynn Sells are reportedly numerous and brutal, and the case of Crystal Searles and Katie Harris is sadly no different. When the man entered the girl's bedroom, he saw Katie lying on the bottom bunk and went over to her. Knife in hand, he removed her undergarments and began to sexually assault the child. This soon roused Katie Harris from her sleep, who was scared and confused. She had just woke up. She realized that she was in danger. And the 13-year-old attempted to fight back against the unfortunately much bigger, stronger, and armed serial killer. He lashed out at her with his weapon and stabbed her 16 times before he slit her throat. Crystal Slurs was asleep through some of the crimes Tommy Lynn Sells committed. However, she didn't continue dreaming blissfully unaware of what was happening below her. She woke up shortly after Katie Harris was making noises to see her friend with a knife to her throat and a strange man holding her mouth closed. Katie was looking right at her. The teenager silently pleaded with Crystal Searles to stay hidden in the hope that Tommy Lynn Sells wouldn't attack her too. It seems that the criminal had no idea the 10-year-old was even in the room. Even though Katie Harris was sleeping in a bunk bed, he'd been so fixated on her that he hadn't looked for other victims. Tommy Lynn Sells might not have realized he had company initially, but it didn't stay that way for long. As the man went to leave the room, he looked back at the scene of the crime one more time and noticed Crystal Searles. This was bad, bad news for the 10-year-old. He wasn't going to leave a survivor behind to spill the beans. Tommy Lynn Sells' father told him, "Dead men tell no tales." Knife in hand, Tommy Lynn Sells returned to the bed and cut the girl's throat. Crystal Searles began bleeding enough that she was able to convince Tommy Lynn Sells that she had passed away. She laid on the ground doing her best to act like her life was over in the hope that he would leave. The crimes that he committed that night, he must have been satisfied that he'd claimed the lives of these two girls. So he left the room and he left the house, even though there was other people. Once he left the house, it prompted Crystal Searles to rouse from her pretend eternal sleep. The girl went over to her best friend, Katie Harris, who was still gasping, breathing, despite the horrific attack. Katie Harris was making gargling and gasping noises and evidently struggling with her 16 stab wounds and slit throat. Her best friend, Crystal Searles, wanted to tell her that everything would be okay, but the crimes of Tommy Lynn Sells rendered her speechless because of her cutthroat. So instead, she simply stroked her friend's back and stayed with her until her best friend, Katie Harris, stopped making noise. She then ran to a neighbor, and this is her own testimony.
Will you show us how you had your hands?
I had them up like this.
Can you tell us why you had your hands up close to your neck?
Because I saw what he did to Katie, and I was scared he was going to do it to me.
This is 10-year-old Crystal Searles, one of the only living survivors of serial killer Tommy Lynn Sells. In the footage you see here, the killer himself explains in detail what happened inside the Harris family house.
I walked over here.
Came over here,
and there's a little girl sleeping here. Then I looked in here, two girls sleeping in here.
I woke this girl up.
The little girl on top was like this, petrified.
But when Sells left the house that night, there was one thing he never thought would happen.
What is your emergency?
I have a little girl just rang my doorbell.
It was like dead men tell no tale, and I thought it killed her.
Crystal Searles. She was just 10 years old when she came face to face with death. But she survived, outsmarting her killer. It was her courage that got Tommy Lynn Sells arrested and brought to trial, finally putting an end to his 20-year-long rampage.
I felt like he couldn't conquer me. He was going to be in that trial room because of me.
The year is 1999. The coming of the new millennium is exciting for everyone, especially for Crystal Searles. She's moving to the quiet town of Del Rio, Texas, with her mother, Pam, and her two younger sisters, Mark and Amber. For Crystal, this means she will get to live right next door to her best friend, Kate. It's December 30th. While the rest of the family is away, finalizing the move, Crystal is spending New Year's Eve at her best friend's house for a sleepover.
We talked about Britney Spears and NSYNC. We kind of stayed up a little later, and we got in a little fight about where we were all going to sleep.
But what started as a night of fun and laughter later turns into a living nightmare. At around 3:30 a.m., a man is awoken abruptly by an intense knocking at his door. He opens to the sight of 10-year-old Crystal covered in blood, begging him for help. Right away, the man calls 911.
I have a little girl just rang my doorbell.
But Crystal can't speak. She's holding a hand to her neck. With shaking hands, she writes the following messages stating that the Harris family needs help, asking them to hurry. More than 700 miles away, at 6 a.m., Crystal's mother is woken up by a disturbing phone call.
It was a Valverde emergency room asking me for my permission to lifelight Crystal. She had been attacked. And I said, absolutely, lifelight or where? And they said, San Antonio. I didn't know anything other than Crystal had had her throat cut.
As Crystal's mother, Pam, rushes to her daughter's side, she has no idea in what state she's going to find her. At the hospital, she learns that Crystal's windpipes were severed, that her vocal cords were cut.
When I got in her room, I saw this little girl with all of these tubes. She looked like this baby in this humongous bed. And I looked her in her eyes and I said, are you okay, Angel? Mommy's here.
Unable to speak, Crystal uses a pen and paper to communicate. The first thing she asks is if her best friend Kate is okay.
She kept asking me, and I couldn't tell her. I couldn't tell her anything.
Crystal's mother can't bear to break the news to Crystal that her best friend Kate is dead, and that Crystal is the only living witness that knows what happened.
When I walked into the crime scene, on the floor was a deceased young girl. The crime scene was extremely bloody.
Shocked by the gruesome nature of the crime, Texas Ranger John Allen still has no idea what he's about to face. He's told that there's a surviving 10-year-old and that she's ready to talk.
We told Crystal who we were, and at that point in time, I assured Crystal that we are going to arrest the person or persons who did this to her. And At that point in time, I was hoping I could back that up.
From her hospital bed, Crystal does her best to write a description of Katie's killer. A police artist makes a sketch from this description. Right away, the sketch, as well as Crystal's details, ring a bell to a friend of the family, who saw a man named Tommy working as a used car salesman fitting that description perfectly. Police get their hands on the individual's picture and present a photo lineup to Crystal.
And I explained to Crystal, I told Crystal, we have a photo lineup. And if you see the man that was in that residence that did this to y'all, please put your finger on him. You could see her eyes moving from one individual photograph to the next and focused in on one photograph. And Crystal took her right index finger and put it on the photograph of Tommy Lynn Sells.
Texas Ranger John Allen makes Tommy Lynn Sells his primary suspect, but nothing can prepare him for who Tommy Lynn Sells really is. It's January 2nd. Police move in on Tommy Lynn Sells' trailer. While the door is unlocked, Texas Ranger John Allen walks in and is met halfway by the suspect. He makes his arrest without any resistance. In fact, Sells even tells John Allen,
I'm glad I finally got caught. And then we told him he was under arrest for murder.
Confessions are immediately obtained from him, as well as his agreement to do a walkthrough of the crime scene.
You doing this walkthrough of your own free will?
Oh, yeah.
I thought this to be very odd. Here this guy is under arrest for murder and attempted murder, and his wanting to cooperate with us.
I walked over here.
Woke this girl up, and she jumped up and told this girl to go get her mom. So I stabbed her here, and then she like jumped back,
The way Sells describes matter-of-factly what he did to Kate and Crystal brings shivers down everybody's spine. But the odd behavior of Sells doesn't end there. Back at the police station, he continues to give unprompted details of other crimes he's committed over the years.
I sat in an interrogation room for hours, listening to Tommy Lynn Sells talking about the people he killed, the men he killed, the women he killed, the children he killed.
This is two females. And it happened in 91, close to Cabin Creek.
We have confirmed that he has committed 22 total murders.
That's when I realized we were dealing with a serial killer, a cold-blooded serial killer.
So how did a serial killer, who for the last 20 years managed to escape police, get put behind bars because of a 10-year-old girl? As Crystal slowly recovers from her neck injury, she regains the ability to talk and can finally share her side of the story. It's December 31st, 3 a.m. Crystal is fast asleep after a night of laughter with Kate.
We went to bed kind of late, but I remember I woke up to like a scream.
She notices that the light is on. Laying silent at the top of a bunk bed, she looks around, confused.
I could see at the end of the bed, this scary guy. He had scruffy hair, long, dark, curly hair, and a big, scary, long, bushy beard that just took over his whole face, and then his eyes were just dark and mean.
The man doesn't notice that Crystal is awake, but she can see the man is holding Kate and that he has a knife.
He had a hand on her mouth and the knife on her neck, and she's looking at me.
Kate then screams out to Crystal to go get her mom. At that moment, the man drives his knife across Kate's neck, dropping her to the floor. He then moves in and stabs her again and again.
I heard Katie, at the bottom of the bed on the floor, she was like gasping for air and choking. She couldn't breathe.
Crystal is horrified, but she's quiet, careful not to make a sound. She wants to help her friend, but if she moves, the man will kill her. After a moment, the man walks out of the room.
About to shut off the light, and he looked one last time, and he noticed that I was there.
Tommy Lynn Sells has already made a victim. He doesn't hesitate when he sees that frightened girl on the top bunk. He closes the door and walks back to her side.
I was trying to scoot to the right side of the bed because he was on the left. He just reached over and cut my throat like this.
Without hesitation, Crystal drops to the floor and plays dead. She's praying that the man won't come back and check if she's alive, like he did with Kate. She has to stay absolutely still.
I just remember laying there and the light turning off and I heard the door shut. So I got on my hands and knees and I was crawling across the floor in the bedroom and I came across Katie. She was kind of making a gasping noise, or maybe she was choking. But then I was trying to comfort her. I laid next to her, rubbing her back, and that's when I realized I couldn't talk because all I wanted to say was everything's gonna be okay, everything's gonna be okay, but I couldn't.
Then Kate goes quiet. With her friend dying in her arms, Crystal realizes she could be next.
I had this feeling, you know, get out of here, get up, come on, go. I was laying there thinking, has he been to the other rooms? Does he know that the whole family's here? Is everybody hurt? Are they all dead?
Crystal decides to head outside to find help at the closest house. Before she opens the door, she hears a car drive off. There's no way to be sure it's the man who killed Kate, but she has to take the risk.
It was dark outside. I was in my pajamas, no shoes, nothing. I saw a light in the distance. I was like, that's my goal. That's where I need to be. I just got on the road and walked really slow to that light. Really, all I could think about was just get to this house, just get to this house, just get to this house. And I just banged on their door, and I hear a gentleman. He's like, who's there? Who's there? And I can't talk, so I'm just banging as hard as I can on the door.
I have a little girl just rang my doorbell.
Crystal is begging the man to tell the operator that the Harris family needs help, but all she can do is write while holding a hand to her throat. She writes for them to hurry, that her neck needs help. And to the man she writes, will I live? January 2nd, Crystal is at the hospital, relieved that Tommy Lynn Sells is behind bars. But her nightmare isn't over yet. In less than 9 months, she will have to face him in court. Because her testimony is crucial to the case, to make sure Tommy Lynn Sells never hurts anyone else ever again. And she's terrified of what might happen. Will she be able to go through with her testimony? If she fails, he might be released. And who knows what Sells will do when he sees her in the courtroom. Like in the case of Mary Stauffer, who was kidnapped by her stalker, he attacked her with a knife in court and left a mark on her face. In the weeks before the trial, the television show America's Most Wanted covers Kate and Crystal's story, and they arrange for Crystal to meet with another teen who went through something very similar.
And he, like, strangled me. He slit both my wrists. You can barely see them, thank God, they're going away. And then he slit my throat.
Christy Reed had survived a brutal attack in 1999 when she got home from school. The brave young 14-year-old then stood in court to face the man who also killed her 16-year-old sister.
I asked for him not to be in the courtroom, but they couldn't do it unless he said something bad or, you know, looked at me weird.
Yeah, I'm way scared because he's going to be sitting right there.
During the encounter, Crystal notices the little gold ring that Christy is wearing. It was this ring that gave Christy strength when she testified in court, as a reminder of her sister.
Do you have any tips or anything like
your friend's name was Katie?
Yeah.
Concentrate on her, because you're helping her and yourself. It's scary, but once you get it out, you're like, you feel a lot better.
It's September 12th, 9 months after the attack. The trial begins for Tommy Lynn Sells.
Let me have the defendant rise and face the jury and I'll act.
The day I had to testify, I said, Mom, don't cry. Please don't cry. If I see you in the crowd bawling, you're going to distract me. You know, you're going to make me upset.
11-year-old Crystal Searles was going to be the key witness, the star witness for the prosecution. She had never seen Tommy Lynn Sells since the night that he came to that house and slashed her throat, and she didn't know how she was going to react.
The jury is presented with extremely emotional testimony while Tommy Lynn Sells remains indifferent.
What I was told was an intruder had entered the premises and my daughter was gone.
They discovered that it was my own daughter who was in the house. I just cried and cried.
Soon, it will be Crystal's turn to tell the jury what she went through, with Sells just a few feet away from her. Moments before she has to go to the courtroom, a surprise is delivered directly to Crystal to help her through her last struggle.
And I am to tell you that this is to help guide you, okay?
Come on.
Inside, she finds the cross ring that Christy was wearing, the same ring she wore in court.
As you face this journey from the moment you begin, know that God will guide you and you'll have the strength to win.
And then when they called me down, I was like, I'm ready. They said, do you want to walk by him? You could either walk by him or just walk through this door and get on the stand. And I said, I want to walk by him. I'm not scared of him.
Were you ever awakened during the night?
Yes.
What was it that awakened you?
Katie's voice saying help. His hand was over her mouth.
Whose hand was over her mouth?
His hand.
The man with the blue jacket and the glasses?
Yes.
Let the record reflect that the witness has identified the defendant, Tommy Lynn Sells.
He was standing behind her with his hand over her mouth, the knife right here. He was, okay. He was...
As Crystal struggles to finish her accounts of that night, the judge gives her a short recess to let her recover. If she's not able to go through with it, she knows what might happen to Sells.
I put my thoughts towards Katie. I just had such a mindset that this is what I wanted to do, and this is what I had to do. This is for Katie. She deserves this.
What happened next?
He moved the knife and slit her throat. He started walking towards me.
Did you say anything to him?
Yes.
What did you tell him?
I told him I'd be quiet. I promise I won't say nothing. I'm not making the noises. It's Katie. He said move your hands.
And why did he say move your hands? Will you show us how you had your hands?
I had them up like this.
You tell us why you had your hands up close to your neck?
Because I saw what he did to Katie and I was scared he was going to do it to me.
As she struggles to go through with her testimony, she finds comfort in the gift Christy gave her.
He reached over the ledge and took my throat. I just laid there and pretended I was dead.
Tell us why you did that.
Because if he knew I was alive, he would have came back and killed me for sure.
Well, Crystal, you can stand down then, and this completes your examination. Thank you, and you are excused.
As soon as I stepped off the stand, I felt so good. I felt like he couldn't conquer me. He had his chance, and now look at him. He was in that trial room because of me, and I liked feeling that power.
After only a few hours of deliberation, the jury quickly comes back with a unanimous verdict.
You, Tommy Lynn Sales, have been found guilty of the offense of capital murder.
They decided to give Tommy Lynn Sales the death penalty.
The serial killer Tommy Lynn Sales, who escaped police for 20 years, is finally brought down. And it's because of one little girl's courage that he will never hurt anyone ever again.
There's not a doubt in my mind that Crystal has lost a lot, if not most of her childhood. She really has been a survivor.
Crystal came face to face with a serial killer and survived. Her road to recovery wasn't an easy one, and she may never fill that gap of losing her best friend. But as the years pass, Crystal is able to find solace in her family and newfound friends. She's closer than ever with her two sisters.
It's such a beautiful thing to see her with her sisters. Even today, she still is like a mother to them.
She graduated, and every day continues to make her friend Kate proud.
Crystal, boy, girl.
Of course I think about Katie. I think about, you know, if she was here, what would she be doing? Maybe what would we be doing? I don't ever think about Tommy Lynn Sales. I don't ever, ever give him the time of day. It just... it makes me really thankful. That's what he did. He didn't ever bring me down at all.
And that, ladies and gentlemen, is how a 10-year-old girl took down one of the most prolific evil serial killers in American history. Although we don't know the name Tommy Lynn Sales like we do a Jeffrey Dahmer, it doesn't make what he did any better or any worse. In this world, there's true evil, and we do live among monsters.